In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let all God's angels worship Him. The author of Hebrews has taken these words from the Septuagint, and they reveal to us a profound truth. The little infant, wrapped in Mary's arms, is not only worshipped by human beings, he is also worshipped by the angels. It would not surprise us to hear of angels worshiping God, or even the Word that was with God and was God. The triune God has always been worshipped by the angels. But something different is now being said. Let all the angels worship Him. Him being that little human being suckling at Mary's breast. He can't utter a single intelligible word. He can't hold his own head up. He can't even keep from dirtying his diaper. But the greatest heavenly beings bow, kneel, prostrate themselves before Him. We Christians worship a man, and we're not alone. In the little manger that cradles a helpless baby boy, the angels see the Lord of heaven and earth. It is these same angelic beings that God speaks of when He says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" At the dawn of creation, when our universe and all its fullness was being made, the angels were there. In the Nicene Creed, the Church confesses that God is the maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. When we say invisible, this includes the angels. The Scriptures teach us that God created the angelic beings before He created human beings. As we just heard, He created them before He laid the foundations of the earth. They not only watched as He spoke our world into being, they sang together and shouted for joy. What do countless angel voices sound like? Scripture teaches that there are so many angels as cannot be numbered. A choir of countless angels sung for joy at the dawn of a new creation. Unimaginable choir. Unimaginable song. In all of history, the only other time that such a breathtaking angelic event occurs is Christmas. It begins with the preaching of a single angel who appears to shepherds in the Bethlehem sky, saying, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you a gospel of great joy to all people. For there is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Christos, Kyrios, the angel says, Christ who is the Lord. According to the angel, the one through whom the heavens and the earth were made is that very moment swaddled and lying in a Bethlehem manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, a plethos stratia, a vast heavenly army that filled the skies, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. At the dawn of creation, the angelic host sang for joy And now at the birth of Christ, they sing once again for an even greater thing is happening this Christmas morn. God has not merely made a new creation. God Himself has entered creation. God has become one of us. Neither He nor our world will be the same ever again. And at this, the morning stars sing and the sons of God shout for joy. Christ is not only the center of the human world, Christ is the center of the angelic world. Born the King of Angels, we just sang. St. John tells us more of this angelic worship of Jesus. In Revelation, all of heaven bows and sings to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All heavenly worship is directed toward Christ, for He is the express image of the invisible God. Whoever sees Me, He says, has seen the Father. Heavenly beings, so awesome and powerful as to defy description, worship Jesus and prostrate themselves before His feet. But human beings will not. Bored with the Christmas story, bored by church, bored by God's Word, St. Peter says that when the gospel is preached, even the angels desire to look into these things. But you just hope that the pastor keeps it short and tells a few jokes to keep you entertained. Or you avoid church altogether. Imagine if the preacher preached for one whole hour. Imagine if church lasted 2 hours instead of one. You'd be fit to be tied. You see, you don't have to look into the scriptures to find a Pharisee, a whitewashed sepulcher. You may have been cleaned up on the outside, but not on the inside. Angels desire to hear God's word. But you'd rather critique the hymn selection, the pastor's performance, the sinners in the next pew. You evaluate God Himself on the basis of your own enjoyment, not just at church. It's as if God owes you to make your life everything you want it to be. Enjoyment is your God. Whether it's a preacher who tickles your ears, or a half-naked body that tickles your eyes, or a juicy bit of gossip that tickles your tongue, you're no more complex than this. You love whatever godly or ungodly thing strokes your ego best. Every one of God's commandments you've broken. You're not the victim, you're the perpetrator. You're not the unjust sufferer in a fallen world. You are receiving the temporal punishments you deserve. What would it take for God to get your attention? Would He have to come down from heaven and make Himself your Savior? Even when He does, the angels worship Him, but you will not. You've spent countless hours buying gifts and wrapping them, making food and decorating. Have you spent a fraction of that time on your knees, bent over, bowed down in prayer? You've drawn up Christmas lists and examined product descriptions. Have you even taken 1 hour to examine yourself, to draw up the list of sin that damns you before God, to plead with Him for forgiveness? You've not loved God with all your heart, not even close. A twisted version of God, maybe. A God who stands with you when you despise government, despise church, despise your boss and those in authority over you. A God who turns his head to your adultery and pornography and perverse thoughts. A God who doesn't mind if you steal a little, cheat a little, or lie a little, just as long as it still makes you feel good. The angels worship Jesus. The truth is, you worship yourself. Oh, now, Pastor, why did you have to go and ruin Christmas? Talking about sin. Why couldn't you have just kept telling us about those lovely angels? Why couldn't you just let us have our cozy little manger scene and our comfy little Christmas? Well, that may indeed be the twisted version of Christmas that we human beings enjoy most, but the real Christmas, it is not. The angels' Christmas, it is not. Let me tell you about God's Christmas. No electricity, no light bulbs, no heat. In the cold and dark stable, a young woman lies down on straw, littered with dirt and dung and God knows what else. No doctors or nurses, no epidural, no pillows or clean sheets. Cries of agony from a young mother, sweating, shaking, and screaming. A white and purple baby comes forth in the usual way. Too quiet, then, thank God, screaming into the Bethlehem night. No sterile knife for the cord. No warm blankets. No soap. Baby wrapped up, mom wrapped up in whatever hopefully not too filthy swaddling clothes and whatever coats they had. Mom and child shivering, death looming, Joseph pacing, angels praying, blood and afterbirth all over the hay. Merry Christmas. If you're a sinner, and you are, you need some pious, precious moments Christmas like a crack addict needs one more hit. What you truly need is the Christmas that really was and is. The God who chooses to come down into the coldness, the darkness, the dung of your own life. You need the Word made flesh, with nerves to feel the pain and know your weakness, that he might sympathize with you. You need the Lord who is born in blood and filthy hay, a Savior, though innocent himself, who is no stranger to ugliness and sin. This is what it means for Christ to be born, for he who knew no sin to become sin for you. This little child is born not in a palace, but in the midst of disease and death and blood-stained hay. This little child has come to be baptized into your godliness and filthiness, to have the muck of your sin, the sewage of your apathy poured out on him, to be spat on, struck, and stripped naked, to be lashed until his flesh is a torn pulp of sinew and raw nerves, to be stabbed by nails onto a wooden cross so that all the world may mock him then and still. The birth of the child who comes for this, who comes for you, is the only Christmas that is worth anything. You are bought at a price, and that price is his agony and his blood from manger to the cross that he pays willingly, because he loves you. Don't think that his lowly birth and shameful death are below heaven. This is he whom the angels worship. This is the Christmas and the crucifixion that causes the morning stars to sing and the sons of God to shout for joy. The angels rejoice as if it were a new creation because the Word has become flesh for the crucifixion of his flesh, for the shedding of his blood, that all things, including you, might be made new. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to all the earth. For there is no peace between you and God without his flesh nailed to the cross and his blood draining from lifeless veins. The Word has not become flesh so that you might have a few days off from work, so that you might be filled with warm and fuzzies, or have some quality family time. The Word has become flesh to pay the awful price for your sin, and pay it he has. By the cleansing of his holy blood, you are forgiven. The Word has become flesh to baptize you into his death and resurrection, that you might be his child now and for all eternity, his new creation. The Word became flesh to drink to the dregs the cup of God's wrath, so that you might drink only the cup of his salvation. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 who need no repentance. Our Lord himself says that. Indeed, he tells us that there is joy, joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You see, Jesus is not worshipped by all men. He is only worshipped by men who know that they are sinners. And he is worshipped by angels who find deepest joy in the mercy that this God has shown to you and to men. What you need is a real Christmas. A real Christmas you have. A real Savior you have. Let all God's angels worship him. Let us worship Jesus too. For with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.